setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Here we go, coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, because you were created to fill a unique role in and through your work. That means you are needed, and it means you must do it. Working on purpose isn't really about the paycheck. You'll get a nice paycheck. You'll get enough of a paycheck. But working on purpose is about fulfilling the desire that every man and woman on the planet has to make a difference. And your work is not just something you do to get paid. In fact, it is the thing you do to contribute to make this world a better place. It is your contribution. You were created to contribute. And so no matter where you are with this relationship with work, what journey you're on, maybe you have no idea what you were born to do. Maybe you know, but you don't know how to get there and do it. Maybe you know how to get there, but fear, doubt, family, or finances is holding you back. There is a clear path. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. Where are you in those seven stages? We're going to help you. I'm your coach, counselor, and cheerleader. 844-747-2577 is the toll-free number to jump in. It is your show. 844-747-2577. Because we podcast this radio show, we have people calling from all around the globe, and we welcome your calls as well. This isn't an American conversation. This is a global, purposeful conversation. All right. I want to give you some very basic teaching that will help some of you go from conditional acting to intentional acting. Conditional acting versus intentional acting. People who live and work on purpose get to a point where being intentional is a part of who they are. It is habitual. But so many people aren't intentional because they think and act conditionally. Let me show you the difference. If you're listening to the podcast, you could pause. If you're listening to the radio, well, you're going to have to write quickly. Or you can go back and listen to the podcast. Conditional thinking and acting versus intentional. What's the difference? Here's what the conditional action or thought sounds like. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. There's always some condition that makes us go, well, I'll do it later. Versus intention says, I'll do it today. Conditional thinking and acting says, I'm going to play not to lose. Go play not to lose. Go play a little safe. And if we win, woohoo! Intentional thinking and acting goes for the win. Conditional thinking and acting feels like a victim. Everybody's out to get me, or everybody's against me, holding me back. Intentional thinking and acting acts like a victor. Conditional thinking and acting relies only on talent. Intentional thinking and acting develops character. And finally, conditional thinking and acting stops when it gets hard. Intentional thinking and acting stays until it gets easier. Men and women, if you want to live and work on purpose, if you want to be who God created you to be, you want to get to the end of your journey and reminisce, not regret, you better figure out how to live intentionally. I'll do it today. I'll go for the win. I'll act like a victor. I'll develop character. And I'll stay with it until it gets easier. Conditional versus intentional. How have you been living? See, when we allow circumstances and conditions to determine our feelings, our thoughts, our actions, then we are no different than that gnarled up piece of tumbleweed we've all seen in those Western movies or TV shows that just blows across the street in a random, unintentional pattern. Why? Because it is the conditions, the wind, that is determining the direction. I don't want to be conditional. I want to be intentional. In every area of my life. Well, let's just broaden the scope for a moment. Not just in my professional life, but in my personal life. I want to be intentional as a husband. I want to be intentional as a dad. I want to be intentional as a son. I want to be intentional as a brother. I want to be intentional as a friend. I want to be intentional as a teammate. I don't want conditions to determine my feelings and my thoughts and my actions. Life is short. I want to act. So, the reason I give you that comparison and run through that list is I really want you, those that are listening to the sound of my voice right now, I want you today, at some point, to get quiet. And I want you to do an inventory of your life. Think about your personal life, spiritual life, professional life, physical life, mental life. I want you to think of these areas, and I want you to ask yourself, am I acting on conditions or am I acting on intentions? I want to be on purpose, intentional. I think that's a breakthrough for so many people. And then the next exercise is I want you to look at your recent history. I don't care what area of your life, but certainly want to look at your professional journey. And if you're not growing, if you're stuck, I want you to look back and go, wait a second. Can I identify where I have been conditional versus intentional? I want you to look for it. Because sometimes when we get a new set of glasses, which I hope I've given you glasses to put on and say, okay, I'm going to look back and I'm going to see, can I see conditional behavior? And by the way, we'll see it. I could see it in my life too. I'm not immune to this. Come on. This is as good for me as it is for you. Maybe better for me. Am I conditional? Have I been conditional? Am I intentional? Have I been intentional? Where haven't I been intentional? Where haven't I decided? This is too much condition. Look for it. And when we begin to see it in every area of our life, then you must act on it. What's causing you to be conditional and not intentional? I'm going to tell you right now, it's fear, doubt, and pride. You'll find one of those ugly, nasty little enemies hanging out. You got this. Be intentional. Life is way too short to not be on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? If you want an easier job search, sign up for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up for free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose, helping you move from paycheck to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. KenColeman.com, the website. You can also follow me and connect with me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. Big stuff coming. Madison, Joe, I haven't run this by anybody, so keep the mic on, please. Don't get tempted. Don't get nervous. Meeting this morning, we are in the final stretch of a amazing tool that we've been working on for several years. And for those of you who are going, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, or I have an idea, but I'm not confident about it. I need confirmation. The tool in stage one, which is Get Clear, is coming your way. That's all I'm going to tell you. It is a phenomenal assessment. Oh, Joe, we're testing. Madison, Amanda, it looks fantastic. It's got a beautiful report. And it's not beautiful because of design, although that'll look great too. It is beautiful because it is just going deep. And I've been working on it for several years. Coming soon. More on that in the days ahead. But I just want you to know, you're going to have a tool, folks, that you can get the clarity you need. We'll reveal talent, passion, and mission to you. Specific results. Point you to the marketplace. Specific directions. Oh, it's going to be so good. So just, I'm telling you, get ready. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Dayton, Ohio, where Hannah joins us on the line. Hannah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Hannah.
So I have a question about how do I prep my interviews or applications? I keep getting interviews, but I don't get any of the positions that I want.
Okay, you broke up a little bit. Did you say what was the first question?
Sorry. How do I improve my interviews or applications?
Yeah. So how many interviews have you gotten recently?
I've gotten two.
Okay.
And what kind
of positions?
So I'm a dietitian, and so I'm currently trying to find a more clinical position. So like where I help people right now, I feel like I don't help a lot of people. So I'm just trying to get a little bit more.
Did you have just one interview and then nothing? Tell me what the process was like.
So I had these interviews were two internal interviews. And
hold on a second. When you say internal, you mean for the company you currently work for?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Tell me more.
And so I had both positions, they gave me second interviews too. So I was like in the final, and then they told me that I did not have enough experience, and the other candidate had a master's degree. So I figured that's why I did not get the other position.
Yeah, that makes sense. That has nothing to do with your interview skills. I want to encourage you. You know, part of this, that's why I'm asking these questions. I don't want to assume that you're applying for things you don't have experience for, but many times that's what's going on. And people get discouraged when what they need to do is get determined. If you're applying for positions that you don't have enough experience for, you need to get determined to go get the experience. You need to stop applying for things that you don't have the experience for. Because all it's doing is setting you up to be discouraged. Now, that's what happened in the one. I'm not saying you didn't have it, but they just looked at another candidate and they said, the other candidate has more experience plus a master's degree. We're going to go with that candidate. Was that an outside candidate or an internal?
Internal.
Okay. Do you agree with what they told you?
So I just asked them, like what I could improve on, and they said I was a strong candidate. They just said they went with the other candidate. And okay. So I knew her, and so she had a master's, and so I was just a little discouraged because I thought I was qualified for the position.
And maybe, and you are, I think you are. They said you were a strong candidate. That means you were qualified. But here's the deal. You know, I don't know if you ever played sports growing up or had a sibling that played sports or if you have a kid that plays sports, but there are just some times where we lose. And when we walk off the field of competition or court or whatever it is, we can know two things. One, I did my absolute best. But two, it wasn't good enough. Somebody else beat me today. Maybe I beat them tomorrow. This is what we know about competition. And I think you've got to remind yourself of that. Now, I still want to give you some tips on how to interview better, but I'm not so sure that's the big problem. Is there any evidence that you have that you're not interviewing well?
No, but I thought maybe that was the problem because I am a new dietitian, but I'm just hoping since I interned with this company that I'm currently at, I just thought I would like they would teach me. And so they weren't willing to teach me for the unexperienced job. They said I didn't have enough experience. And then that's when they, I just thought they would like teach me, but it doesn't seem like they want to teach me. They just want someone with experience. Same with other positions.
Yeah. So you're saying you were hoping they'd hire you and teach you as you go.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that. I like that, but you can't demand that. And not that you did, but you can't demand that mentally. Kind of go, well, I kind of think, well, why wouldn't they hire me and then teach me as I go? Well, some companies do that, some don't. Some positions do that, some don't. I just want you to be encouraged. How long have you been with the company?
2 years.
Okay. I'd keep looking within, but I would also be okay with you looking outside. If you feel like you've got a lid on you in your current position, and you don't feel like there's opportunities to get additional training and experience, then at some point you got to decide to move on anyway. But I'm not telling you that's the case right now. You've not been there very long, and I think you keep raising your hand, you're going to get an opportunity. But let me encourage you really quickly on how to interview better. Everybody can always get better. And here's the key, okay? And I've got a how to win the interview guide, which Amanda's going to make sure that you get at the end of our phone call, okay? And it's free. It's a free resource. But what you've got to do is you've got to prepare. You think through every angle of the potential position, the job description. You study that job description so much that you could recite it backwards. And why you do that is you start thinking, well, what are they going to be looking for? What potential objections would they have to me? Well, not enough experience. How would I answer that? How would I address my relative lack of experience in an interview? Some things like that. And certainly in the internal interviews, you know more about the company, but externally, you better know everything you could possibly know, like you did a college term paper on it. Relentless preparation leads to reflexive performance. And what that simply means is that the more prepared you are, the more calm and confident you are. And calm and confident leads to, you know, extraordinary opportunities. The second piece I would give you, and all this is in that free guide. The second thing, Hannah, is the questions you ask in the interview is what really sets you apart. The questions that you ask, not that you answer, that you ask. So hang on the line. Let's make sure she gets the How to Win the Interview Guide. It's a free resource for the rest of you and her as well at kencoleman.com. It's a fantastic little PDF that can really equip you. We've heard from hundreds of people who feel like they crushed their job interview because of the How to Win the Interview Guide. So that is a very practical resource. And just a little note here. We talk about this from time to time because it pops up. And it's interesting that Hannah, and I like where Hannah's head was at, but you got to be careful. There's a fine line between I don't have the experience for the job, but I'm going to apply for it anyway because I'm just expecting you to give it to me because I'm talented. May not have the experience, but I'm talented and I'm awesome. And she didn't say this, but I really want to point this out. You applying for a job internally or externally, folks, where you don't have the experience that they're looking for or enough of it, you're already behind the eight ball against your competition. Remember, this is a competition. You're competing against somebody. So understand, if you put yourself up for a job where you don't have really great experience that would at least stand with anybody else that you're involved with or put you in the higher percentage of those with experience, you understand you're setting yourself up for disappointment. As opposed to, go get the experience. But don't just assume because you're awesome and because you're talented with a lot of potential that they're going to train you as they go. Not everybody's going to do that. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, and give yourself away. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Sharday, who joins us in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Sharday, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Sharday. What's up?
So, I have a quick question for you. So, I was wondering if it's possible to start in your career field when you're in college. Kind of give you a background story a little bit because I'm in a unique situation. So, I'm 27. I moved back to my parents' house to do a reset. And so basically that meant to get out of debt, go back to college, and do what it is that I truly am called and purpose to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm completely out of debt, and I have 6 months of living expenses completely saved.
Good for you.
And I am in college currently, and I'm paying cash for it and using tuition assistance through my job to pay for college. I'm going to school to get a graphic design degree.
Awesome.
However, I'm a little bit of a slump because I'm at a job where they're giving great benefits. They're a great company to work for. However, the job that I'm actually doing, I can honestly say I'm just not 100% satisfied doing it, obviously, of course, because I want to do graphic design. So how do I start in the field before I graduate is the question.
Okay, so are you doing graphic design at all outside of classes?
No. And so that's where I'm having the struggle to try to find how to get there as doing graphic design out
sure.
of class.
No, I get it. I get it. Okay. So the current job, is there graphic design opportunities within that building?
Not that I know of. I've asked my manager supervisor to help me look into it for me, as well as I've looked at the positions and jobs and they have open, and there is none.
Okay.
As far as graphic design and creative.
Got it. And you need this job full-time, or is it a part-time job?
It is a full-time job. I don't necessarily have to have it. I'm in my parents' house, and they say, we've had this conversation before, as long as I'm doing what it is on purpose to do and I get there and I'm not back in the position I was before, mm-hmm. then I'm welcome to just focus on school and my career and not having this job.
Perfect. So then I think
because I have very few bills.
Got it. So what I think is you go for part-time or full-time, but be okay if part-time. Job doing some graphic design, even if it's contract work. But I would try to get a entry-level graphic design job. That's what you're going for in Colorado Springs. And while I'm going for that, looking for it, so you're just looking for it. So the answer to your question when you called in, should I get into it or can I get into it? The answer is yes and yes.
Okay.
You have enough training, I'm guessing. Now, I'm assuming this, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got enough training and enough experience that you could do what we would call entry level or junior graphic design. Is that true or false?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're applying and looking for those positions because you don't have the pressure to stay in this current job. There's nothing there for you right now.
Right.
And you are in a great financial position because of your parents' generosity and your hustle factor to where... Yeah, let's walk away from this current job once we find part-time or full-time or contract work as a graphic designer. So you're searching job boards, Colorado Springs, anybody looking for a contract graphic design artist, right? And that's you. You go, okay, yeah, I can do that. Because if they need 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, 15 hours a week, whatever, you apply for that. So look for contract work. Also promote yourself as a contractor on social media. And send an email to everybody you know in Colorado Springs. Text everybody you know in Colorado Springs going, hey, I'm in school for this. And I have the freedom time-wise to do some graphic design work. So I'm looking to pick up some contract work here and there, part-time work, project-based work. I'm all in. So you tell everybody that'll listen while you're also looking for jobs as well. And you take anything you can get that'll allow you to do any graphic design possible. That's what you do. And you do as much of that as you can. And this isn't just about experience. This is also about connection so that when you graduate, hopefully you got some jobs waiting for you. So yes, you can. And yes, you should. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that definitely does. Because my ultimate goal is to kind of be a freelance graphic designer.
Great.
To be on my own schedule and have my own business.
Now's the time. Now's the time for you to test that. Because you can freelance right now as a college student because there's no pressure on you financially. So I love this. Let's go to Michael next in Wichita, Kansas. Michael, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you loud and clear. What's up?
Oh, that's good news. I wanted to call in this afternoon. I have a question. I'm currently in a job situation where I'm dealing with being on call 24/7. It's been affecting my mental and physical health, and the requirement of the job is to work weekends. Of course, that was put on pause right before COVID started. And then I realized that my weekend schedule is going to pick up here as things start opening back up. And I injured my back 3 different times on the job, filed 3 different workman's comp claims. And in other words, I'm concerned about injuring my back again. I know my body and I know my health. And what my question is, I've been looking for other positions in my field. And is it appropriate for me to ask, say, if I get interviewed for another position in an office job type setting, to ask them, will I be on call? Will I be expected to lift 40 or 50 pounds or work a lot of weekends?
Yeah, I think that's totally fine.
Oh, that's good news.
I wouldn't do it in the first 30 minutes of an interview, but you know, as you get into that relevant conversation, however the interview process goes, I certainly would ask, what are the hours that you're looking at for this position? And what's that going to look like? Don't go into, do I have to be on call? Is there weekend hours? You don't have to get that specific. Just say, hey, what are the work hours? What are the expectations from schedule? Well, what's that going to look like? Or what are you thinking? That's fine. It's a totally informative question. It's a good question to ask. But I wouldn't go any more specific than the way I said it. I wouldn't go as specific as what you said, because here's what will happen. If you ask it the way that you laid it out to me, it could potentially raise questions. They're going, why is he asking that? Do you know what I mean? And I think if you should know from a job description whether or not you're going to have to lift something over 40 pounds.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But in the office position, I can't imagine when you're ever picking up something over 40 pounds unless you're in a warehouse. But that's not an office position. And so, again, I wouldn't bring that up. If you ever had to lift something heavy and go, hey, I got a bad back. Hey, Larry. Hey, Raj. Can you help me pick it up? Don't bring up stuff that's unnecessary is my point. So you got this. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, man, I appreciate the call. This is great. You know, Michael, this is a great question. And this is what makes, by the way, searching for a job so disgusting sometimes. It's like, oh, I got to deal with, should I ask this? Are they going to ask me about my back? Will they like me as much as my current employer? You know, all the stuff associated with putting yourself out there and saying, I'm going for something different. I know, folks, I get it. That's why I do what I do. And it's also why I've partnered with ZipRecruiter. They've taken the yucky, sucky stuff out of the job search. They've made it so simple. One click at ZipRecruiter.com. Here's what happens. You submit your profile, or you create your profile that has your resume attached to it. And you got the Ken Coleman resume, which really makes you stand out. And here's what they do for you. They really are your recruiter. With their technology, it's unbelievable. They're going to match you and pitch you to companies. And this is where it gets fun. If a company goes, yeah, I'm interested, they can contact you directly. It's not going through ZipRecruiter. You get to communicate directly with a company. And so they've simplified the process. They've taken out all of the tension, all of the anxiety about, hey, how do I get in front of somebody? How do I get in touch with somebody? ZipRecruiter's figured it out. That's why we're so excited about it. I said, yes, this is how you do it. And so this is another asset to everything I teach, all the resources that I bring to you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com today. Create a profile, submit your resume, and watch opportunities knock on your door. All right, don't go anywhere. Coming up, more of your calls. This is the Ken Coleman Show. helping you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So grateful that you've joined us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. Let's go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next, where Christina joins us. Christina, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Christina. What are you doing?
Oh, great. I have a question, and I kind of need your help.
Okay.
So I have a full-time job that's not related to my degree. My degree is in architecture and interior design, and I have a side business. Currently, I'm doing both for about 3 years now. And the reason why I took the full-time day job was because there's a huge tuition benefit for my children. And that was the main reason for taking it. Meanwhile, my interior design business has been growing. And I see a little bit of growth, and it's going in the right direction. But right now, I feel very tapped, and I don't have any bandwidth to do almost the amount of two full-time jobs.
Right.
And so I have had discussions with my husband, who's been super supportive, helping with the family business and also helping with the kids and the chores and things of that sort. And, you know, he's very supportive in that manner. But I know that we've had, you know, positive discussions about, you know, what should we do? And he's basically concerned that I'm doing too much, which I tend to agree with him. And so I don't know where to go from here. I mean, it's a matter of, you know, we're debt free, you know, we're financially stable. But I really love doing my side business.
Yeah.
And I feel very confident in it. And I feel like that it's going in a great direction.
So your heart is telling you, and your husband is telling you. Oh, I don't know what your husband's telling you on the two choices, but your heart's telling you to do this thing that you were designed to do, interior design. You were put on this planet by the creator of the universe to create, and you are at your absolute best. You are in love with work, and you are... You are connected to the results when you're doing interior design. It's not even up for vote.
Yes.
And you guys are debt free. Hold on, I get it, but I'm just going to position this for you. This comes down to tuition or passion. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you feel like, gosh, if I choose the interior design, I'm not being a smart person with my money because I'm getting this great tuition break for my kids. The other question is, can you afford the tuition if you don't work in the day job?
I feel that we could swing it. It's a matter of my husband is in personality, he's risk averse, and he prefers stability. And for me to jump from this full-time position with a guaranteed tuition benefits, it's kind of like that's a no-brainer. Like,
so if it were up to him, he'd tell you to dial back on the dream for a few years until the kids are out of school.
Correct. Now this is the kicker. I'm committed to the full-time position to keep the tuition benefits for 9 years because that's how long it will take for my youngest to go through college. So I can't imagine doing this I could see it for like a year or two, but it's 9 years. So what should I do as far as, you know, how to make it work, or should
sit
I
sit down with your husband? Well, I think you have two options two things to do, not options. Sit down with your husband and show him how you can swing it. You guys sit down and figure out how you can swing it, the tuition.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Either you can swing it or you can't. And if you can, then he has to, then you two have to decide.
Sure.
But he has to hear, first you got to show him if you can swing it. Then he has to hear, babe, I can't do this for 9 more years. My soul will leave my body.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, sure.
He knows this. I don't think that's breaking news, but you got it. But you got to tell him. Can't do it for 9 years. I know you want stability. I can't do it for 9. Maybe 2, and maybe you guys meet in the middle and you do it for 2 more. I don't know.
Sure.
And then you guys plan for that. So it doesn't have to be all or nothing where you walk away tomorrow. Although that is a viable option if you guys can swing it financially. If you cannot, you got to go, all right, I can swing it for 2 more years, but these are the changes that we need to make so that 2 years from now I can walk and stability's there, plus being able to pay for the tuition and all the things. The other option is the kids go somewhere else. I mean, you got to put everything on the table and go, what do we want to do? So you do what's right. And I think what's right is eventually you walk into this thing full time. And you got to protect yourself and take care of yourself in the process. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job so you can give yourself away. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the toll-free number. Let's go to Kirsten, who joins us in West Palm Beach, Florida. Kirsten, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
I am preparing for a career change in the next few upcoming months, and I want to switch over to teaching, actually. I'm in the construction industry right now, and I'm going through these teacher applications, and for references, they want me to list my most recent employer, but my most recent employer wouldn't necessarily know that I'm leaving until I put my 2 weeks in. Because it's kind of a toxic environment and I'm unhappy there and they wouldn't necessarily know that I'm leaving. So I don't know what to put down for that line on the application since I don't really want my most recent employer to know that I'm thinking of heading out.
Yeah, I think you could share. Are you dealing with an HR department or with the hiring manager directly? I mean, tell me who you're communicating with to this point.
Right now, it's just my supervisor, but I'm not really getting along.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not sure I'm making sense. So let me try again. So you haven't actually applied yet to this teaching position, or you have?
I have not. So I'm just trying to do my research.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So that was my question is, who are you talking with in the school system, or who will you be talking with? So here's how you'd handle that. What I would do... is play by their rules in the application process, and I would put your most recent employer before your current employer. And when that comes up, you just go, look, I don't want to let them know that I'm leaving yet because I may not get this position. I think they understand that. So, hey, I'm happy to get you a ton of references. And what you got to do is you go ahead and alleviate that objection. Think about the objection. Well, you say, hey, I'm happy to give it to you, but could you please not – could you check all my other references except that one? You know what I mean? Because you're in a construction company, and I'm not sure how relevant your current work is anyway, other than a character reference, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that there is, let's say I called your supervisor up today and said, hey, it's Ken Coleman. I want to know about Kirsten. Talk to me. What do you think that's going to be like?
In terms of
what are they going to say? What are they going to say? You said you haven't been getting along with them. I'm wondering what that might sound like if I said, tell me about Kirsten.
Oh, well, I'm only not getting along with one certain employee, but it's really affecting the whole downline of the whole company.
Right. But are you in good relationship with your supervisor?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. So all it is that you just want to protect, you don't want your supervisor finding out you're going to leave and then they may fire you if you don't get the job.
Yeah, because they really like me and I know they want me to stay, but it's just not a good fit.
I get it. So I would just say that. I'd say, hey, I've got a great relationship with my supervisor and I understand you want character references and then professional references. I've given you several. Here is my current supervisor, but I would ask that you not... contact them until maybe you've sent me an offer. You know what I mean? You just talk to them. Be honest. These are human beings on the other end of this deal. Say, hey, I'd kind of like to protect this because if I don't get it, I don't want to create any tension because I've got a good relationship with them. See, that's couched very positively, And by the way, that's common sense. So I would just be really upfront and transparent. They understand that. Nothing weird about what you're asking. But at the same time, go, hey, happy to give it to you. Got a great relationship. But is there any way to do your due diligence without tipping them off until you know that you're going to offer me? And if I've got an offer and this is just, hey, let's make sure that she's not an axe murderer, then yeah, I get that, you know? So that's how I would handle that. Yeah. Hey, congratulations. Good for you. Hope you get it. 844-747-2577. Mary joins us now in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mary, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
I'm the boss. I got someone.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. Hello, Ken Coleman.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. I was just calling. I'm actually at my at the orthopedic doctor right now, and I was calling because I'm wondering what to do with for work when I have a, basically, I guess I've got a messed up left ankle and foot and some bone spurs in there. Painful. Ouch.
I feel like I'm in the doctor's office with you right now. Am I in the room?
Yes, we're in here. She just actually put the brace on me. Yeah, I was. I just did my x-rays, and stuff, So
fantastic. All right, so what's the prognosis here?
Well, I don't know, actually. I guess he wants me to follow up with him and maybe use some kind of walking or cane or type of wheel, some kind of device to get me around. It's something I've never used before. I like to walk a lot, so this is kind of that style.
I got to tell you, Mary, you talk so fast, I'm having a hard time catching up with you. So I know you got the ankle problem. What's the question? And slow your pace down just a little bit.
Now we know why I was voted most likely to be auctioned in high school because of my speech talking too fast. It has always been. No, I should make $78,000 a year and probably not have a bunch. Never mind.
Yeah, you just
I'm trying to figure out some kind of way.
Again.
I know that there's like transportation issues and getting around for people with this kind of condition and work and stuff. I'm kind of wondering, I guess, how I can help with that or what
are
I can
you
do
in,
with
work. Okay. Are you employed right now?
No, I had actually just applied for Jamel Containers inspector work and stuff, but that may not work with the situation right now.
Why wouldn't it work? Because you can get around. You just have a little bit of a limp. You're not on a cart, right?
They're not. Well, actually, the pushing thing is going to be kind of like a cart for sitting. They don't want me lifting more than 10 pounds weight, and I'm not sure they want me on my feet from what he was just saying. Not very much either, if I can avoid it.
Okay, so don't apply for something.
this happened a couple days ago after I got the application for the job.
I
didn't drive a forklift, but I've been in new factory work too, so a lot of lifting and whatnot. Yeah.
Okay, so I don't understand what you're saying, but here's what I can tell you. Okay, you've got to apply for something that you can do
it
physically.
It's not good for me to have it.
Right, but my point is, if you have a physical limitation on your ankle right now, you can still apply for something and say, here's my prognosis. The doctor's got me in this for 6 weeks. Then after that, like what you got to do is you just got to be realistic. Don't overthink this. Because if I understood, and Joe, honest to God, I didn't understand. And I have never in my life tried so hard to listen. I couldn't keep up with her. And I got to tell you that, like, she should be in some type of a, she really should be an auctioneer. I watched that, Joe, what's that thing
Mecum.
I watch? Thank you, Joe. I watch Mecum Auto Auctions all the time because I love cars. And I'll sit there and it's kind of this brain-numbing thing that I like to do. I don't have to think. I talk all day. I think for a living. So I'll go home and I'll turn on the Mecum Auto Auctions. And that guy's going, hey, that's what she just did to me. I have no idea what she said. And I think when I told her to slow down, she talked faster. I think I actually called it out and it made her nervous, Madison. And so she started talking faster. So all I can tell you is if you have an injury or a physical limitation, apply for something that you can still do. If the physical limitation is going to prohibit you from doing it, you can say it's only for a short season. I still want to apply, or you wait until you don't have the physical limitation. Do you think that I addressed that? That's the best I can do.
I think you hit the heart of it.
And in all honesty, I love her to death, but she bless her heart. She was in the doctor's office. And I think between me and the doctor, we both need some type of muscle relaxer for her. Do you know what I mean? I think let's relax a little bit. I have no idea what that was about. And had I stayed on with her any longer, I would have gotten more confused. Because her afterthoughts were faster than her main thoughts. Did you catch that? She'd be like, and then she had an afterthought. What is going on? That is fantastic. Now, that's a talent.
There used to be a commercial about this FedEx guy that used to talk real fast. She's faster.
Do you remember, Joe? Madison won't remember this, but do you remember the Micro Machines commercials?
Yes.
That guy could talk really, really fast. She can talk that fast.
I think she's faster.
Let me tell you this. Here's what I know, and this may be a low bar. She talks faster than I think. And so I don't know. That's probably a low bar. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. Thank you, Madison. Wow, that was fun. We need to get her. We got to figure something out with her. What jobs for people that talk fast? All right, folks, I got to get out of here. You matter. You do have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.